Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janavalabha Giribaradhari. Gopi Janavalabha Giribaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Randana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Randana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivajikacharya Satutta Sarasishimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivajikacharya Satutta Sarasishimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavindi Ki Jai. Namacharya Slavhe Dastakur Ki Jai. Premsa Kohansi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasri Gaur Bhaktivindi Ki Jai. Sisi Radha Krishna Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Mayapur Navadvip Dham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Samaveta Bhaktivindi Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sisi Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Oh, really? So I just got word that one of the devotees that moved here from New Vrindavan a couple of years ago, named Devananda Prabhu, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, just left his body. So let us pray for him. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Oh, it's his wife.
And she is...
Here, why don't you use the mic, Monty?
Yes. No, he didn't. It's my godsister, passed away on Wednesday. Her name is Maharani. Maharani. Devananda Pandit's wife. Unless you're talking about Devananda Van Pelt. Okay, well, that's two different scenarios that happen. So Devananda Van Pelt, who is Shama Van Pelt's father-in-law, yeah, who is staying right up the road. Yes, yeah. But also, in New Vrindavan, which is what he started to say, Maharani, Devi Dasi, passed away on Wednesday from liver failure and things like that that she'd been struggling with for a while, for many years, actually. And so, but Devananda is, just so happens to be, there's two Devanandas, but Devananda is her husband, yeah. Maharani. No, Devananda's. Yes, yes, she was.
Thank you for clarifying.
Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam. Narang Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatam Vyasam. Tato Damodirayat. Om Agyanati Manandasya Ganandana Shalakaya. Chakshurun Melitam Gena. Tasmai Si Gurave Namaha. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 18, the battle between Lord Boar and Hiranyaksha. Texts number 14 and 15. Sri Jan Amrit Sita Svasan. Manu Pachi Litendriya. Asadya Tarasa Daityo. Gadaya Nyahana Dadim. Sri Jan Amar Sita Svasan. Manu Prachalitendriya. Asadya Tarasa Daityo. Gadaya Nahana Daram. Sujana Marsita Svasan. Manu Prachalitendriya. Asadya Taraso Daityo. Gadaya Nahana Daryam. Sujana Marsita Svasan. Manu Prachalitendriya. Asadya Taraso Daityo. Gadaya Nahana Dadim. Sujana Marsita Svasan. Manu Prachalitendriya. Asadya Taraso Daityo. Daraya Nahana Dadim. Sujana Marsita Svasan. Manu Prachalitendriya. Asadya Taraso Daityo. Gadaya Nahana Dadim. Ladies. Sujan Sarsita Svasan. Manu Prachalitendriya. Asadya Tarasa Daityo. Gadaya Nahana Dadim. Svijana Marsita Svasan. Manu Prachalitendriya. Asadya Tarasa Daityo. Gadaya Nahana Daryam. Svijan. Giving out. Amrit Sataha. Being angry. Svasan. Breaths. Manu. By wrath. Prachalita. Agitated. Indriya. Whose senses. Asadya. Attacking. Tarasa. Quickly. Daitya. The demon. Gadaya. With his mace. Nahanat. struck. Aryam, Lord Hari. Translation, hissing indignantly, all his senses shaken by wrath, the demon quickly sprang upon the Lord and dealt him a blow with his powerful mace. Text 15. Bhagavam stu gada vegham Vrishitam rupanorasi Avanchat terasanchino Roga yoga rudha evantikam. The Lord, however, by moving slightly aside, dodged the violent mace blow aimed at his breast by the enemy, just as an accomplished yogi would elude death. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The example is given herein that the perfect yogi can overcome a death blow, although it is offered by the laws of nature. It is useless for a demon to beat the transcendental body of the Lord with a powerful mace, for no one can surpass his prowess. Those who are advanced transcendentalists are freed from the laws of nature, and even a death blow cannot act on them. Superficially, it may seem that a yogi is attacked by a death blow, but by the grace of the Lord, he can overcome many such attacks for the service of the Lord. As the Lord exists by his own independent prowess, by the grace of the Lord, the devotees also exist for his service. So I wanted to share how this verse, pair of verses, evolved. During the last several months, for our online class, the study of the Srimad Bhagavatam, well, 2 weeks from today is the Sarat Purnima, the first day of Kartik. And we'll be having online readings of the five chapters of Rasa Panchadhyaya, the Rasa Dance. So I've been doing an in-depth study on that. And when I read this, naturally, what I'd read kind of leaked into this topic. And when I read, hissing indignantly, all his senses shaken by wrath, the demon quickly sprang upon the Lord and dealt him a blow with his powerful mace. I was captivated by that one, rather than the other one about the Lord dodging his death blow. And then I started to follow the trail. How did this living entity get that mood toward the Lord? That he's actually hissing indignantly. Indignantly means annoyed. He was annoyed by his presence. All his senses shaken by wrath. The demon, can I have the slideshow, Karnapur? The demon quickly sprang upon the Lord and dealt him a blow with his powerful mace. So this verse is from the side of Hiranyaksha. The next verse, the Lord, however, by moving slightly aside, dodged the violent mace blow aimed at his breast by the enemy, just as an accomplished yogi would elude death. That is from the side of the Lord. So whenever there's rasa, whenever there's relationship, there has to be at least two people. So first we'll go from the side of Hiranyaksha, and then from the side of Lord Varahadev. Yeah, I know you guys can't see it, but I can read it, so it's there. Next slide. So trying to understand and following the trail of Hiranyaksha's developed hatred and annoyance with the Lord's presence, we naturally go back to the time of the curse, from Jaya and Vijaya's Leela. And this topic was unknown prior to all the commentaries on it. What happened? How is it possible that a demon was blessed by the Lord? But the commentaries on it explain it. In the seventh canto, when Maharaj Yudhisthira saw at the Rajasuya sacrifice Lord Krishna take his chakra and slice off Shishupal's head in front of everyone in the assembly, everyone could see Shishupal's Atma rise into the sky, wait a moment, and then enter into Krishna's body, knowing that he attained Sahuja Mukti. So, from the purport to text to chapter 7, to canto 7, chapter 1, text 35, it explains more clearly what's going on. At least it introduces the topic. The bodies of the inhabitants of Vaikuntha are completely spiritual, having nothing to do with the material body, senses, or life air. Maharaj Yudhisthira, therefore, kindly explain how associates of the personality of Godhead were cursed to descend in material bodies like ordinary people. This very significant question should be difficult for an ordinary person to answer, but Narada Muni, being an authority, could answer it. Therefore, Maharaj Yudhisthira inquired from him, saying, Etad akyatam arhasi, only you can explain the reason. From authoritative sources, it can be discerned that the associates of Lord Vishnu who descend from Vaikuntha do not actually fall. They come with the purpose of fulfilling the desire of the Lord, and their descent to this material world is comparable to that of the Lord. The Lord comes to the material world through the agency of his internal potency. And similarly, when a devotee or associate of the Lord descends to this material world, he does so through the actions of the spiritual energy. Any pastime conducted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is an arrangement by Yogamaya, not Mahamaya. Therefore, it is to be understood that when Jai and Vijay descended to this material world, they came because there was something to be done for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, it is a fact that no one falls from Vaikuntha. So the overall umbrella concept, everything that's happening is under the concept, under the control of Yogamaya. This is not false ego. It's not the modes of material nature. It's completely under the spiritual energy of the Lord to bring about and orchestrate a pastime. That is the first layer that has to be understood. While I read that, it reminded me of what I'd... before I go on. So this particular first part that Srila Prabhupada talks about is etad agyatam arhasi. Only you can explain the reason. The functions, the mysteries of Yogamaya are not known to those covered by Mahamaya. We perceive the perverted reflection, the shadow, as it tells in the Bhagavad Gita, just like the banyan tree in a placid body of water, appears like the real tree, but it's upside down, inside out, and inverted. So all our experiences here in this world are reflections, inside out, perverted reflections of reality. And we have, in order to understand reality, we have to find someone who knows that reality and learn from them and hear from them. During the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the foremost person who knew the heart of the Lord and wrote books revealing it? Rupa Goswami, yes. Swarup Damodar is also one of those who knew, and Ramananda Roy, knew the intimate dealings of the heart, but didn't write a lot of books about it. Next slide, please. This is a beautiful verse about Rupa Goswami, who spent 10 days with Lord Chaitanya in Allahabad, and then went to Puri sometime later, and got further instructions from the Lord directly from his mouth. Before the creation of this cosmic manifestation, the Lord enlightened the heart of Lord Brahma with details of the creation and manifested the Vedic knowledge. In exactly the same way, the Lord, being anxious to revive the Vrindavan pastimes of Lord Krishna, impregnated the heart of Rupa Goswami with spiritual potency. By this potency, Srila Rupa Goswami could revive the activities of Krishna in Vrindavan, activities almost lost to memory. In this way, he spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world. Next slide, please. So Rupa Goswami's foremost book about the rasa exchanges with the Lord in so many of his different incarnations is, of course, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, translated as the Nectar of Devotion by Srila Prabhupada. And the book basically has different, Sindhu means ocean. So a more literal translation of the title is not just the Nectar of Devotion, but the ocean of nectar of devotion. And an ocean, it's a nice meditation. Oceans have so many different features to them. They're practically unlimited. No one can capture and study. I mean, scientists might go out in a boat and study the area around their little boat with their instruments, but how much can they really fathom? The whole planet is filled with water. Sometimes it's placid, sometimes it's wavy, sometimes it's tsunami. It transforms and it changes. Every 8 hours there's tides and currents that are constantly acting within it. So there's Yogamaya in the spiritual world is conducting and orchestrating these sentiments and exchanges with the Lord and all his devotees in unlimited forms and unlimited experiences everywhere, eternally. That's what it means, sat-chit-ananda, unlimitedly blissful. It's unending, uncalculable, and ever fresh. Next slide, please. So then what happened was trying to understand Yogamaya. From my point of view, as a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, go into his books and find out where are descriptions of Yogamaya and how it functions. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 4. And of course, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, at the end of every chapter says, Rupa Raghunatha Pada. Die. He's following Rupa Goswami. So, Krishna's thinking about his advent. The influence of Yogamaya will inspire the gopis with the sentiments that I am their paramour. Purport. Yogamaya is the name of the internal potency that makes the Lord forget himself and become an object of love for his pure devotee in different transcendental mellows. So we can take that same principle and apply it to this lila, the name of the internal potency that makes the Lord forget himself as an object of love or an object of hate for his pure devotees. The point being that Lord Krishna, in the form of Lord Varaha, doesn't remember his majesty as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's in the mood of saving the Lord, saving the earth, and now he's zeroing in on a battle. This Yogamaya potency creates a spiritual sentiment in the minds of the damsels of Braj by which they think Lord Krishna as their paramour. This sentiment is never to be compared to mundane illicit sexual love. It has nothing to do with sexual psychology. Although the pure and pure love of such devotees seems to be sexual, again, because we're in the perverted reflection. One should know for certain that nothing can exist in this cosmic manifestation that has no real counterpart in the spiritual field. All material manifestations are emanations of the transcendence, the erotic principles of amorous love reflected in mixed material values are perverted reflections of the reality of spirit. But one cannot understand the reality unless one is sufficiently educated in the spiritual science. Next slide, please. Neither the gopis nor I shall notice this, for our minds will be always entranced by one another's beauty and qualities. Purport. In the spiritual loving sentiment induced by Yogamaya, both Lord Sri Krishna and the damsels of Braj forget themselves in spiritual rapture. Applying the same principles to this lila, in spiritual loving sentiment induced by Yogamaya potency, both Lord Varaha and the demon Hiraksha forgot themselves in spiritual rapture. By the influence of such forgetfulness, the attractive beauty of the gopis plays a prominent part in the transcendental satisfaction of the Lord, who has nothing to do with mundane sex. Because spiritual love of Godhead is above everything material mundane, the gopis superficially seem to transgress the codes of mundane morality. This perpetually puzzles mundane moralists. Therefore, Yogamaya acts to cover the Lord and his pastimes from the eyes of mundaners, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 7:25, where the Lord says that he reserves the right of not being exposed to everyone. So Lord Varaha and Lord and Hiranyaksha, this was a long time coming. When Diti and Kasyapa engaged in intimate pastimes, and she became pregnant. You may remember that he explained to her that because of the time, the ill time, because of the bad time, the wrong time, therefore you're going to give birth to two demons who are going to harass this entire universe. And Diti, feeling so distraught, not wanting to cause disturbance to the entire universe, held those seeds within her womb for 100 years. And in the conversation of Maitreya and Vidura, basically what Maitreya was doing was he was just explaining the leelas and the pastimes and the creation of the universe. Then what happened was the Kumaras and them not agreeing to procreate, and the advent of Swayambhuva Manu and his wife, who expanded from Brahma's body. And then Brahma said, "You please procreate." And Manu said, "Well, I will procreate, but what about the position of the living entities, since the earth is in the Garbhodaka ocean, where is a suitable place for the living entities to live?" And then the whole pastime has been evolving from that root. The whole universe became dark because these demons were in the womb of Diti for such a long time, and the demigods came to Brahma and asked him, why is the whole universe becoming dark? So this is all leading up. It's all part of the foreplay, let's say, of what's going to happen in this verse. Next slide, please. From Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, just to confirm the topic, the concept, 216. Sambhoga prativishyate svayam bhagavata sada aisvarya jnana vismritya tad tad ananda sambhava. The Lord always becomes the object of his devotees' love and enjoyment. For the production of those joys, there is forgetting, vismriti, of his majesty. This is in relationship to the Lord forgetting his position as the Supreme Lord. Because we're coming up to Kartik, which is a big hint. What's another example of the Lord forgetting his majesty? How?
If God forgets his God, how is he God? If he
He became afraid. How could he become afraid? He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Is it just an act? Is it like when an actor? Very good. All right, we're getting it. The pieces are cut together. Vismitya means that this yogamaya happens, and it's actually to please the Lord. It covers his consciousness. It's like inconceivable that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's all cognizant, omnipresent, omniscient, yet he has a potency for his pleasure. And he actually, it's described in the first verse of the 29th chapter that we'll read, Yogamayam Upashritaha, that in order to enact the rasa dance, he took shelter of the rasa, of yogamaya. He actually takes shelter of a particular energy to help him and assist him perform the lila. Next slide, please. Now this, if look at the nature. These two individuals, Jai and Vijay, have a siddhideha, a swarup, which is an eternal bhav. Their sthayi bhava is as what? Doorkeepers, protectors. What is their ornamentation? What is their dress? They have mace. They have weapons. Fighting. But in Vaikuntha, what's your chance? So the desire of the is within them. Nitya siddha Krishna prema sadyakaba noi shravanad sura chitte karaya udoy. That there's a particular, I don't know if I included this purport. My bhava, I'm so chico. Okay, no, I didn't. In the verse in Bhagavad Gita, mamayvam sajiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manakstastan indriyani prakatistani karshati. It's explained, Krishna is explaining that each living entity, whether Vishnu tattva, Shakti tattva, or Jiva tattva, is a fragmental part of the Supreme Person. And each one of those fragments has a particular nature. It's inherent within it. It's Sthayi Bhava. It's its swarup. So there's a particular type of love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead in every single living entity. Shravanada Sura Chitte Kara Adoy means that by properly hearing Shravanada Sura Chitte, Chitta, we heard that the other day in the Shikshastika seminar about Chitta, consciousness becomes purified, and that Nitya nature awakens. So Jai and Vijay have this nature, and in order to activate it, this pastime is part of that. It's to fulfill the Lord's desire to fight and their desire to engage with him in a service of fighting. So in the perverted energy, that natural nature of service is becoming transformed into this apparently negative demoniac bhava. Next slide, please. So here we are with Jai or Vijay finally becoming Hiranyaksha after, I mentioned how it was all dark before their birth. What happened during their birth? Anybody remember? Was there any description or were they just born? Yes. One time I was in a van. You all know Pyari Mohan? He was our Sankirtan leader. And we read this. We were going out to some parking lot or something, someplace. And it was raining. It was pouring. There was some sleet. And we were reading this pastime just, so absorbed. And the purport had said that when demons are born, these natural, unnatural occurrences happen, acts of God. It's even described that mountain ranges shook. We've all heard like a big boom of thunder, but this was the whole universe became dark, and these demons were born. So we're talking about cosmic upheaval. going on. And now this person is in a personified form, had dislodged the Earth planet from its orbit, and he's standing there, and he sees this boar, Lord Varaha, and addressed him, "Oh, best of the demigods, dressed in the form of a boar, just hear me. This Earth is entrusted to us, the inhabitants of the lower regions, and you cannot take it from my presence and not be hurt by me. You rascal, you have been nourished by our enemies to kill us, and you have killed some demons by remaining invisible. You fool, your power is only mystic. So today, I shall enliven my kinsmen by killing you. When you fall dead with your skull smashed by my mace hurled by my arms, the demigods and sages who offer you oblations and sacrifices in devotional service will also automatically cease to exist, like trees without roots." Next verse, please. So, from Hiranyaksha's side, we have Rodra Rasa, roaring in anger, eyes red, and ridiculing the Lord. This is his bhav. Hasya, humor. His mockery of Varaha is humorous in its arrogance. And Vira, false heroism. He thinks himself powerful, boasting to prove his superiority. So in our chanting, we hear that there are different aspects to meditate upon. Nama, Rupa, Guna, Lila. So in our practice of chanting, at least mine, I got some Nam, understand the Rupa, and have read all the Leelas. But this element of entering into the rasa is helping me better understand. It's still like foggy, but it's becoming clearer. The guna, the qualities of the Lord, the qualities of the devotees, and how that energy, how those blend together like a tapestry of emotions and experiences to awaken and germinate and enliven that nitya siddha Krishna prema. Next slide. Although the Lord was pained by the shaft-like abusive words of the demon, he bore the pain. But seeing the earth on the ends of his tusks was frightened, he rose out of the water just as an elephant emerges with his female companion when assailed by an alligator. And the personality of Godhead said, "Indeed, we are creatures of the jungle and are searching for hunting dogs like you. One who is freed from the entanglement of death has no fear from loose talk in which you are indulging, for you are bound up by the laws of death. Certainly we have stolen the charge of the inhabitants of Rasatala and have lost all shame. Although bitten by your powerful mace, I shall stay here in the water for some time, because having created enmity with a powerful enemy, I now have no place to go. You are supposed to be the commander of many foot soldiers. Now, you may take prompt steps to overthrow us. Give up your foolish talk. Wipe out the cares of your kith and kin by slaying us. One may be proud, yet he does not deserve a seat in an assembly if he fails to fulfill his promised word." Next slide. So now the rasa concepts from Lord Varaha's side. Vira rasa, calm confidence, protective strength, and readiness to fight for the sake of the earth. Shanta, his composure. He kept his composure even while being insulted. And Adbhuta, his majestic form, tusks shining, unshaken by the demon's words. It's the nature of Lord Varaha. This particular photograph, by the way, is Adi Varaha. Anybody know where he is? Mathura. Yes, right at Vishramghat. After fighting with Hiranyaksha and killing him and saving the earth, there's a Vishram means to take rest. So there's a ghat on the banks of the Jamuna called Vishram Ghat. And Lord Varaha sat there with Mother Bhumi and explained to her the Adi Varaha Purana. He spoke the verses, glorifying Mathura and how dear it is to him, which also gives an indication of what's going on and why he saved the earth. Because that's where he appears. That's a very dear dham to him. So he pulled it out and saved her. This particular deity, carved by Lord Brahma after the Lord came out of his nostril. And then he was given to a sage called Kapila. So he's also called Kapila Varaha. Kapila one time gave that deity to Lord Indra, who worshipped him in the heavenly planets for thousands of years. But knowing the power of that particular deity, Ravana, when he defeated Indra, took that deity to Lanka of Adi Varaha and worshipped him there. When Lord Ram defeated Ravana and installed Vibhishana as the king of Lanka, Vibhishana very humbly came before the Lord and said, how can we possibly repay you? The whole kingdom is yours. What can I possibly offer you as a tribute, as an offering of love? And Ram said, you have this deity of Adi Varaha. I want to take it back to Lanka. So back to Ayodhya. So they put him on the airplane when Sita and Hanuman and Lakshman all came back to Ayodhya, where he was worshipped for 110 years. While King Ram was emperor of the world, there was the demon named Lavanasura, in Mathura, and in Madhuvan, which was the capital at that time. So Lord Ram asked Shatrughna to go and gave him this Adi Varaha deity to take with him. So this deity of Lord Varaha, his nature is to bestow mercy upon the world by his presence. That's another of his characteristics, qualities. Next slide, please. Now, not only we'll read it in a few verses, but this entire event was being witnessed by the devas. So let us just read a few ideas or descriptions of their rasa experience. Bayanika. They felt fear and suspense due to the demon's strength. Adbhuta. They marveled at the Lord's playful response and divine beauty. And Karuna. They longed for the earth to be rescued, depending fully on the Lord. So once again, next verse, our verses again. I added one because it was part of the buildup. Oh, there's another part that there's another element. The demon, being thus challenged by the personality of Godhead, became angry and agitated, and he trembled in anger like a challenged cobra. Now, anybody who's lived in India, it's the only place I've ever really seen it manifested so prominently in the culture. You can argue with words all day long, and it gets to a certain point. You can just keep going, and it's okay. But when you strike, it goes to an entirely different level. Isn't it true? If you strike someone, if you actually hit them, that takes that experience to the next level. Our verse today, hissing indignantly, all his senses shaken by wrath, the demon quickly sprang upon the Lord and dealt him a blow with his powerful mace. He finally got there. The moment had arrived for Hiranyaksha. Ah! He got it. He hit it. And he reached that crescendo of that experience all the way back. This is one of six. What do I mean? One of six. The first of six. Thank you. There's six of them because there's two brothers, or to Dorman, and each of their incarnations, this moment will come for each one of them in those six incarnations when they finally get to the point where they attack the Lord. Now, any questions or comments? Let's spend a few minutes if there's any discussion on that. Bahushara Prabhu?
Thank you, Guru Maharaj. Very nice. So you see here, you see the red boar. So was this in the Chakshusha Manvantara? And then the white one was...
I didn't look that up. But yeah, there's a white one and a red one.
Right.
The two different Manvantaras.
Right. Okay, so the Sweta Varaha Manvantara?
Where there was no demon. It was just the ocean, the earth had fallen.
When you said fourth
of past is the moon. Yes. Manvantara. 14 Manvantaras in a day of Brahma. Fourth one. So this is the fourth one.
Okay.
Chakshusha Manu, yes? First one was Swayambhuva. Yes. Trivikram Prabhu?
Is there any sort of fighting that takes place in the spiritual world, fighting or killing or anything? I mean, as...
Not that I've heard of. That's why that's why they have Boma Leela.
Or killing, I mean.
What I'm reminded of is there's a sentiment that there's demons, and there's a sentiment, we read this in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, there's a sentiment that the gopis have husbands, but there's no real physical entity. But when the Boma Leela takes place, and the Lord comes to this dham and performs that sentiment, manifests as an entity, like Abhimanyu, Radharani's wife, or the other gopis' husbands, they're actually manifested in the Boma Leela. So similarly, the way I'd kind of approach that topic was that there's no real fighting and killing, but when it manifests on earth in the Boma Leela, then there is.
Thank you, Prabhu, for all your research and presentation. You said that DT held within her womb the seeds of the demons. Now that conveys a whole nother idea that I was thinking for 100 years she's here pregnant with two twins, you know, like expanded out, you know, carrying two twins. But what you say is if that's the case, you know, that seems a little more feasible. She could, by her yogic powers or whatever, or Krishna's will, hold them, the seed.
I think I remember, because there was a lot here. Went through a lot of different aspects to it, but I think I remember saying that because it was Yogamaya who was conducting the whole thing, she wasn't too inconvenienced.
Oh, I see. Interesting.
Right?
Okay. Now, when Varaha was resting, and you said he sat with Bhumi, what form was Bhumi in, do you know, at that time?
The goddess. And that actually, they actually had a son.
Narakasura.
Thank you. Yes, Narakasura and Bhaumasura.
Okay.
Same person. Next slide, please, Karnapur. Okay, got to get up. Now, what I want to do is go to the next phase. Again, 2 weeks from today is the first day of Kartika. We want to invite everyone. We have a really... in-depth study of the Rasa Lila chapters, but there's also a easy way to access our programs every Tuesday night at 6:30, and every Saturday at 11, we'll have Zoom meetings where we go over the texts for that particular lesson. And it's very easy to get on to. You go to zoomsadhusangha.com. You go to zoomsadhusangha.com, and it'll come up to the portal, and it says click to join the meeting. You can join the meeting. And we're hoping to have a lot of senior devotees so that we can have different, churn these topics from a mature point of view. When I approach this topic, naturally, what happens is we've been studying online since 2008. So we've studied all of Prabhupada's books almost, and we're at the point where this is just what happened at this particular time. So I was a little apprehensive, but this particular lecture gave me great encouragement to continue. So on the lower right-hand side of the next slide, there should be a little speaker.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most merciful incarnation to bestow upon us Krishna Prema. In the beginning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was appreciated by Srila Rupa Goswami as Mahavadana Avatar. There are many incarnations of Krishna. Keshavadhrita Meena Sarira Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Keshavadhrita Nishinga Rupa Jaya Jagadisha. Many incarnations. But this incarnation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is Anarpita Charingchira. The mercy of this incarnation is unlimited. It was never given before. That is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. He distributed the most confidential part of love of Godhead. Although we are living in this fallen age, Kali Yuga, but he is giving the topmost platform of loving Krishna, Anarpita Charingchira. Therefore, he is supposed to be the most munificent incarnation. Namo Mahavadanaya. Krishna Prema Pradayati. He is giving directly Krishna Prema. It is very difficult to understand Krishna and what to speak of his loving affairs. It is very difficult. Manushyanam sahasyeshu kaschid jatati siddhaye jatatam api siddhyanam kaschid vetrimam tattva. Krishna personally says that it is very difficult to understand him. Actually it is so. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is so unlimited that he is helping not only to understand Krishna, but also he is giving directly love of Krishna. And this supermost platform of love, as it was experienced by the gopis. The gopis dealing with Krishna is considered to be the topmost. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he recommended. Ramma kachi dupasana brajabadhu vargavija kalpita. Brajabadhu, the gopis, the dancers of Vrindavan, they worship Krishna in the topmost loving affairs. They did not know anything but Krishna. For Krishna, they could sacrifice anything. Their honor, their prestige, everything. Their husband, their sons, family, that is the gopis' standard. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's incarnation is accepted by Srila Rupa Goswami in many verses. One of the verses is here, Anarpita Charingchira.
So I became very encouraged by that. It's actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching this. Srila Prabhupada's a representative of that, that line of teachers. We read before about how Maharaj Yudhisthira asked Narada Muni a question that only he knew. So similarly, this knowledge was given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the intimate heart of Krishna, revealed to Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Viswanath Chakrabarti Thakur, our whole line, Srila Prabhupada, has made it in English, and it's all around the world. We've been studying this for 50 years, and I felt encouraged that this is acceptable. So anybody that's interested, this next slide, please. Our website's called sadhusanghaonline.com. Down at the bottom it says create a new account. And if you want to go to the Zoom, the next slide is zoomsadhusangha.com. And it won't just be for Kartik, because I've already done all the course materials. It goes all the way up into February. So if you want to immerse yourself in the topics, please join us. Hare Krishna. Nice question. The question was, will we also be reading from Ananda Vrindavan Champu? What I did was, Srila Prabhupada ended his format that we're so familiar with in Srimad Bhagavatam of transliterations, synonyms, translation, and purport with the 13th chapter of the 10th canto, the stealing of the cowherd boys. Beginning with Lord Brahma's prayers, the 14th chapter, there's no more of that. But he did give us Krishna book. Even he, in 1970, understood that he would not have time in his lifetime to complete the entire Bhagavatam the way he was writing it. So he wrote a summary of the entire 10th canto in the form of Krishna book. Fortunately, since that time, several devotees have translated so many of the Goswami's books, and Banu Maharaj and Mahanidhi published the Sarartha Darshini by Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur. This is one of the books that Srila Prabhupada used when he composed his own purports throughout the whole Bhagavatam. He would use a book called Symphony of Commentators, six different acharya's books compiled into one with their commentaries on all the verses. He would go through those, then he would compose his own purport. So what I did was I went to Krishna book, took the particular paragraphs that correspond to Viswanath Chakrabarti Thakur's verses from the Bhagavatam and his commentary, and created pages with that. And then annotated that with some from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ananda Vrindavan Champu, Krishna Bhavanamrita, Prema Samputa. So many different books that we have are kind of like spiced and interlaced within the topics that we'll be studying throughout the months.
I found it interesting that in some of the very early lectures in 1966 in New York, Srila Prabhupada was talking about Lord Chaitanya and the love of the gopis and these topics, and this was before anybody knew anything.
Good point.
That stunned me when I first heard. Yeah, 1966, there's lectures.
I think that we can also logically conclude that when he saw the nature of his audience, he adapted and kind of went back to Sri Upanishad and nectar of instruction and things. But the point is that he
didn't shy away from giving people the absolute truth.
Thank you.
So this question is not fully articulated, so bear with me. I hope it makes sense. But we're reading here about these very sublime sentiments of different moods between Hiranyaksha and Vraha with Yogamaya, orchestrated by Yogamaya, and then the gopis, the same thing, that Krishna has arranged this. So how much of these sentiments or any of them can we expect to have? Is it only when we've become completely freed from our material conditioning and fully, you know, perfected our consciousness of who we are, that we can expect to have loving relations with Krishna? Or can we taste any of those now? Now it's just, it's all awe and reverence now. It's
I love the example of the Bhakti Lata Beej. The Bhakti Lata Bija is a seed which begins to grow with proper environment, just like a seed will sit on a shelf or sit in a bottle for or a package for a long, long time, years. Then you take that seed out, put it in the ground, water it, and that environment starts to agitate what's within the seed and germinate, and it germinates, and then it has to fight, not fight, it has to go through whatever it has to as it opens up, and it's packed within the earth, so it has to endeavor, and then it comes up, and it pops its leaves or whatever out of the earth, and then it continues to grow. So it's a continuous evolution. Shravanada Sutta Chitta, that verse that I said, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema, Sadhyakabu Noi, Shravanada Sutta Chitta Karya Udoi, is the same principle that love is within the living entity. And by this process of bhakti yoga, it's slowly emerging and growing and evolving. So no, it's not just going to be all of a sudden at the end that there's some kind of experience. Of course, that's when the flower comes and the scent, but the entire experience is part of the same evolution that's going on. Mukunda Prabhu? Thank you, Deva-Pras.
Yeah, Srila Prabhupada, he always was preaching sort of on two tracks. One was to attract so many different souls to the process of bhakti in general. Mm. And then when you read his books, he was giving all of the things that we're discussing now. So even in the Adi Lila chapter 4, you'll find all of these conceptions up to Rasa Tattva and so forth and so on. So it was almost like a two-track way of preaching. So if you were able to come to the bhakti process, Srila Prabhupada engaged everyone in the basics of devotional service, but within the books which he instructed to read, he was giving all of this kind of information.
Thank you.
And then secondly, in terms of experiencing these things, it's not like there is a giant explosion at the end, as you're saying, but gradually from Shraddha, then in Sadhu Sangha, there's some more realization. In Sadhu Sangha, when you take Harinam and then Diksha, at the time of giving Diksha, the particular kind of mood you have is given at that time. So Jiva Goswami's mentioned Divya Gyanam Yantra Srimati Mantre, Bhagavat Surup Gyanam Tena, Bhagavat Sambandha Visesh Ganangstra. So at that time, if you're mature, that's why in Chaitanya Charitamrita that verse is there, Diksha Kale Bhaktagane Atma Samarpan. If you're actually Saranagat at the time of taking Diksha, Sekale Krishnatare Kari Atma Sam, then the revelation of what was given at Diksha becomes an epiphany in the heart.
That and even verse, if it doesn't, it may later.
No, it begins to unfold gradually. Uh-huh. Okay. So it starts as a ruchi, actually. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, I think it's 2538, he mentions that it begins as a ruchi, a particular kind of taste. That taste is derived from the hearing of Harikatha of sadhus. That's why that verse is there, mm-hmm. Krishna Bhakti Janma Mulahoy, Sadhu Sangha. So in the association of a sadhu, hearing the Harikatha, it spawns a ruchi, a desire. I would like to serve like this parika, like that parika. Going on practicing daily in sadhana bhakti, then, as you're saying, from hearing and chanting, that ruchi grows. In the stage of a shakti, Jiva Goswami is saying, tasya tadrasa sudakaraka basa samalatika spatika mani. The heart becomes more crystal-like. So now a bas of the actual mood of that parika comes onto the chitta, the consciousness. Mm-hmm. Then the substance of Swarup Shakti, Sudha Sattva Viseshatma, Prem Suyangsa Samyaba, Ruchi Bis Chitta Masrinya, Kuriso Bhavuchite, that same ruchi that you had been cultivating from all the different stages becomes crystallized as a mood and a form that you can actually witness, though you still have a sadhaka deha. Now the actual substance of Swarup Shakti, which is Samvit and Aladini, and your heart now has become suitable, means like Sandini, for that to descend.
So this would be analogous to the plant growing,
Exactly.
The leaves coming out, the thing coming up, the bud manifesting, exactly. And then finally the flower. So
that's the example Mahaprabhu okay. gave with this Mali Kana Se Bija Ropan. That verse is exactly what you're saying. It's exactly yes. true.
But you have to go by the symptom. You can otherwise.
Oh, nice. Otherwise that's good point also.
Yes.
Excellent point. If you try, if
these nine symptoms yes. should be checked. Ropa say, yes. are you developing those?
Yes.
Yes. So there are, otherwise sahaja element can creep in, mm-hmm. right? Being premature in a particular sentiment.
Yeah.
One of the things that in 2008 when we started our online program, one of the ideas was that there is so much outreach, the main engine of ISKCON is to go and introduce people who know nothing about Krishna to people, whereas the cultivation of people who have dedicated their lives to this mission and to this process is, I'm sorry to say, sorely lacking in my point of view. So we wanted to try and create an environment where more of that is available.
Can I want to bet one statement? Did Srila Prabhupada mention anything about boiling the milk?
Yes.
That's all.
He did say that. He did. Yes. Twice he mentioned
it. Yeah.
Boiling the milk. But then
the die. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Very nice.
Thank you.